shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we know that history repeats itself after close to 2,000 years, how they did not recognize your presence then, and now today the Gentiles again do not recognize your presence, but as Hebrews tells us, they actually crucified the Son of God afresh to themselves, even as Israel under Rome at that time did that particular atrocity to you in the flesh. And again, Lord, under the churches today, we see the same thing happening. But we're grateful, Lord, that there were a few that were wise unto salvation, who were the seed, who accepted the acceptable day of salvation, especially the acceptable Savior. And that is how we stand tonight, Lord. We identify tonight through the Word, Lord, the great separating factor this hour to take our place with salvation, the God of salvation, and all that entails, even the very fulfillment of the complete promise of God, immortality, and all that lies therein. We thank you now, Lord, for the Word that you gave us. We pray as we study tonight it may find a lodging place in our hearts, and may it do us good, building us up in the most holy faith, transfiguring and transforming us, which we believe is the promise in this hour. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we're looking at spoken word as original seed. And last week, we were in lesson number 4 of this series. We found Brother Branham explaining why he used the Genesis account of creation for the basis of his message, which he went to Genesis chapter 1 to about verse 14, I think. It was simply that not only did God create everything that is in the universe, but especially when it came to created life. Now that's in contradistinction to life which isn't created, which is God's own and given to Adam. So all right, the reason Brother Branham went to the Genesis account of creation was, it was simply that not only did God create everything that is in this universe, but especially when it came to created life force of any kind whatever, it was produced by spoken word, which was then that original seed and which could never change but remained always the same, because the life created was created by the unchanging word of the unchanging God. So it wasn't just a matter of looking at creation, wherein you know there is a God, but actually you are looking at the life forces or the forms of life, and in particular the animal, of course, of which man is the highest because he's mammalian. Now, he thus emphasized, and he used the nature as an example because he took it from the creation of nature, the universe back there. He thus emphasized that God's Word would mix with nothing whatever and still be God's Word in that form of a mixture. Now, that was the strong point that he made. There's no way that it could ever mix and remain the Word of God, which, of course, he was looking at the life factor, wherein the Word is living and it actually produces itself in this sense, that whatever is brought forth as a word, that which lay back in the mind as an idea, actually even written and then uttered and brought forth, was based upon the fact of that word itself having that life and power bringing it up. Now, however, though it be mixed with creeds and dogmas, which the word has been over the last 2,000 years, and actually over the last 6,000 years, or whatever time you may involve the church in and people in the history, when the word is mixed with creeds and dogmas, it is voided as to the fulfillment of the true original purpose of the word as given to the people. Now, the word actually can and does leave eventually the creeds and the dogmas behind, because they're dead, leaving also the dead people who are actually dead by the last plague, as in this hour, which is a spiritual death, it leaves it, and then it goes on to be fulfilled in another further generation, because the Word of God will never return unto God void. Whatever it was set out in the beginning to accomplish, it will pursue under every condition until it is fulfilled. And you notice the word was not spoken to the animistic, which would be nature, creation, but was spoken to God's own child, Adam, and his wife, who was also a child of God. Now, Brother Branham illustrates the point by referring, using the hybridization of two forms of life as that example, showing that you actually can mix two strains of animals, which are two forms of life, and it will not bring forth either one of them. And particularly, it will not bring forth, as Brother Branham is showing us, the actual Word of Almighty God. Now, we found that over in the 15th page, and this is not an edition that's nicely numbered, it's one of the real old ones. He says now, speaking of the Word, it cannot be mixed and it will not interbreed with anything. That's true. In other words, simply using the Word of God will not actually accomplish anything. See what I mean? It's people try to use the Word of God maybe like a rabbit's foot or some kind of fetish or something. The same as they use prayer. They don't realize that what you're dealing with in the Word of God is the Word of God and therefore is under the jurisdiction of the Word Giver and cannot be handled in any manner or means or under any conditions or with any particular species or, you know, forms of life unless God has predestinated it. See what he's saying here. Now, it cannot be mixed and it will not interbreed, hybridize itself, or bring forth a hybrid with anyone. In other words, it just remains the way it is. It will not hybridize. Today is a great day of hybridizing animals, corn, wheat, making a better-looking product, but it's no good. It's rotten, no life in it, it dies, can't reproduce itself. It's dead because everything that we have on earth today is in its original form, that's in its original form, is a spoken word of God. So, what he's done here is to separate the Word of God from absolutely everything, making it superior to everything because it is the primary reason and cause of all creation. Now, the original word, the original spoken word cannot be mixed or used outside of its own framework or context, nor can it be used by those for whom it is not intended and have the promises fulfilled in them as set forth in the Word. It will not reproduce itself or fulfill its life expectation in any person unless the person is a properly predestinated seed who can receive an unchanging word and in no way attempt to alter it by adding or taking from it. We'll find something a little different from that as we read. We'll get into it. But we're making a flat statement here that Brother Branham is using just to give you an idea of where he's going to go through this whole sermon. And that is, we cannot work in violation of the precepts of Almighty God and the framework. In other words, the continuity and the integrity and the wholeness of this particular word. So that no matter how people look at the Bible, you've got to come to the conclusion, this is it. Leave it alone. What it says, it means. Now, many times people can't interpret it. And that's too bad. That's mentioned in the Word also. 16th chapter of Matthew. They didn't have a revelation. All right. Now, as with every species of life wherein we see a continued life form, in other words, a reproduction, knowing that life is going on, that it's producing of its kind, It must be the mating of the male and female of that species to bring forth of its kind. That's right. You know, you get the donkey and the horse. It doesn't produce a horse or a donkey. It produces a hybrid. You notice that neither life comes forth. When man fools with the word of God, God refuses to let his life come forth, and man cannot cause in his life to produce from his life what he would like from the word because God said it. See what I mean? You just stand back. Be patient. And if you're not a part of it, you're not going to get anywhere, see? Now, so with us. Now, read again. As with every species of life wherein we see a continuation of that life form is produced of its kind. It must be the mating of the male and female of that species to bring forth of its kind. So with us, the carrier conduit of life, which is the Word, can only come to those with a place in them to receive the Word, and then the Holy Spirit of life of that Word waters the seed in the believer, bringing forth it to light, and forms Christ in the believer. See, that's what you're looking at. So remember, you go back where Brother Branham says Eve caused an interruption. What was all laid out there, sin entered in by disbelieving one word. And the disbelieving of that one word changed the entire meaning of the Word of God, deflected the entire power of God, put man from under the dominion and protection of God into the realm of the enemy, whereby man would have to pay that price until the Word being fulfilled, the life which came down a little at a time, where there was a group of people that would never change what was their portion, finally at the end time, there'll be a bride. And at the time of that bride, all the dead will come out of the earth. You'll be standing here, and all will be taken up. And it's just because of that life in that Word coming all the way through. See, now, remember, Eve did not allow the Holy Spirit to water that Word in her. She took another water. What happened? That brought on two forms of life together, which brought forth a third form, which is entirely a hybrid. And see, it can neither fulfill the visions of men nor the visions of God. Every now and then I talk to Sister Jan. We're pretty close friends. And she likes to hear Limbaugh, and I like to hear Limbaugh. And he's a very shrewd fella. But he's a typical example of what I'm talking about. The American dream is a bunch of hogwash. I don't care what you think you can produce or somebody's going to produce. It isn't going to work because man is attempting to have to conceive and produce what only God can do. And under the conditions that God wants it. See, now, going back then, or stepping a bit forward, the church is no different when it comes to bringing forth Christ in the flesh at the end time. The church has been planning on doing it for a long time. But the church cannot do it unless there is the Word there to water the seed to bring forth Christ in that whatever generation is supposed to come. And the generation he's supposed to come in, believe it or not, is not the utopian idea of the Roman Catholic Pope and the Limbaughs and the Reagans and the churches. No way. It'll not come forth under the utopian. So that Christ is glad to come back. It's going to come forth in a time of despicable, rotten, filthy homosexuals, murders, just like you got an executioner there in the White House. He's already said it's okay to murder babies. Well, we'll read a lot of things in here we can look at. Now, let's just stop right here. I want to tell you something. This whole message, we may never get it finished, and really I don't care much. Because, you know, we just take things as they come. But the fact of the matter is, these two sermons and the third one preached in Georgia is based upon a writing in the Spirit that God gave Brother Branham. Take up your pen and write. So it's only fair, I think, that we read that material that was given to Brother Branham by God. And then we read it, then we go back and start over again. Now, we maybe just read this tonight and let it go and go tomorrow morning. But we'll see. So, all right, now, here's where the Spirit said, pick up the pen, and I have to leave some of it go, but I've got to bring some of it to you. Now, I don't know that anybody ever found those notes. So, on this hand, then, we'll look at and take this as though this is all that he wrote. Because, after all, this will be completely basic, and anything else contingent to it would likely be what you might call an additional description or a little further knowledge. So, all right. That's what he says, all right. Now, here is what I'm trying to say to you. See, the law of reproduction brings forth of its kind. See, that's where we started, Genesis 1, that's Genesis 1:11. These last days, now we're getting right to the point, for this hour, which would be the Omega of the Alpha. Because this is the last hour. Because he said, these last days. Now, use the term last days, go to your Bible, and you'll see where last days are used. And so you know now, a vindicated prophet is talking and giving us this information. These last days, true church bride comes to the headstone. Will be the super church, a super race, as they near the great headstone. They will be so much like him, even they will be in his very image in order to be united with him. They will be one. Now, remember, there's a union going on now. And at the same time, there's a union going on now, the invisible union of the bride and Christ, which is a word process. There is a separation of the people by the same word. There has to be, because if this is going on, that they will be in his very image in order to be united, and that's the bride church, which is the come-out group of the church, come up from among them, something has to be very different with them, which is not with somebody else. Now watch, spoken word is original seed. So therefore, these must be spoken original word seed people, right? At the end time, that those that have gone before cannot be made perfect without them. You follow what I'm saying? Now, you understand, we've brought this in so many forms over the last 10 years, these very things. That's what I mentioned, that we started this little series here. You've got to realize that we're looking at it in the light of not 1962, but 1963 to 65, where every single mystery. Now, it doesn't mean every tiny little point, and you understand it perfectly, but that which is perfect has come. Okay. Now, they will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the Word of the living God. Now, there again, you must realize that this is not to be construed as according to your own reasoning. You simply listen to what he said and just leave it sit. Because right away, the latter rain idea of Pentecost in its rampant begins coming in, and the voice is in the bride. We're going to do tremendous things and everything, you know. Pretty soon you're going to, well, you're right back to twisting God's arm and making God do what you want him to do. You know. Prayer might change a lot of things, but it never changes God. And the big thing that's supposed to change is a person praying. Worst luck, it seldom happens. Well, it's the truth. When it should be just the opposite. Like Brother Branham said, prayer is not changing God's mind, it's you, God changing your mind. Now, they will be the very manifestation of the Word of the living God. Why? Because that's the original. Now watch. Denominations can never produce this. They will produce their creeds and dogmas mixed with the Word and brings a hybrid product. What's a hybrid product? It can't breed itself back. There's no life in it. It's sterile. Whether it's a mule or a henny doesn't make any difference. It's the same animal. Just one side opposite. All right. Now watch. The first son was spoken seed word of God. He was given a bride to produce himself. She fell. Now see, that's what a bride's given for, to produce himself again, another son of God, but she fell by hybridizing. Produced himself, but she fell and caused him to die. The second son, a spoken seed word of God, was given a bride like Adam. But before he could marry her, she had fallen also. For she was put to free moral agency like Adam's wife was, to believe God's word and live, or doubt it and die, and she did. Now that one, you'll find that over in the book of Genesis, and then the second place of the fall is in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And though we've read it just dozens and dozens of times, we'll read it again. Now notice, you're looking at two beginnings. You're looking at the beginning of God in Genesis to bring forth sons and daughters unto God. You're looking again now in the first century, which is the time of Paul, in the Corinthian church, 11th chapter. Now, for I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, verse 2, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled thee through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, either off there, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, they're off there, another spirit, or another gospel, how far can you be off? And yet the church is off on all three counts. It started way back there. All right. Now, so you're looking at the picture Old and New Testament. In both cases, the one that was responsible for the production of the life which lay in the male, back in Genesis, and the life which lies in Christ, to bring forth that one for the end time, why they blew it in both times. But watch. Then from a little group of the true seed of the word, God will present Christ a beloved bride, a virgin of his word, and through them and by them will be fulfilled all that he has promised. For his word in the virgin, who knows no man-made creed or dogmas. So therefore he's going to produce his word in a little tiny group of people called a bride, a virgin of his word, having any creeds, man-made dogmas, no way, shape, and form, so the word of God can be fulfilled in them. I think that might be a little bit like over here in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, where Paul is preaching, husband, love your wives. That's the 5th chapter in verse 25, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. See, there's that water in the word. It's a water word. Now, it's that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. So you see a perfect church. Now that's what Paul wanted to present. And don't think for one minute it won't be presented. And all you got to realize is at the end time, about 5.5 to 6 billion people, the rate of proportion of those that go in the rapture, as real true bride standing here, and those that stay, is roughly about 8 out of maybe 3 to 5 million. I don't mean there's going to be only 8 people, but I'm just telling you that's a proportion. So you better be, you know, thinking hard and not try to make this some great big move of God and some great big group of God, as we find all the churches very nicely and sweetly are trying to make sure that all of their members get in. Well, I got news for you. 8 people. Now, we've got 160 people here tonight, pretty easy, maybe 160 divided by 8 is 20. Right? So how many people are going to go when you get a proportion like that? Not very many. Not saying we all can't go. Now let's take another little peep at it then to get a little proportion. How many people believe that William Branham was a genuine, true prophet of God who was God to the people? Well, that's too much right there instead of going any further. They're not going to take that any more than they took Jesus. Any more than they took any other prophet. Any more than they ever wanted a prophet. Now they say, a prophet was next best to God because they hated to meet with God. They said, now God, we just can't stand you face to face and the way you talk and the way things shake and everything goes around here. You let Moses do it. He said, I'll let Moses do it. Then y'all tried to kill Moses. Yep. 8 people made the ark. It's a pretty good show. You look at the perverted generation we're in. Man that says, okay, you know one of the biggest bands in Fraldy Rald at his parade is going to be the gays. That doesn't mean a happy people either. All right. Then from a little group of the true seed of the word, God will present a beloved bride. Christ will present Christ a beloved bride, a virgin of his word. And through them and by them will be fulfilled all he has promised for his word in the virgin, who knows no man-made creeds or dogmas. Now, that's what he showed you from Ephesians here and from Corinthians. Virginity is the term applied to those who know nothing but the unadulterated, simple word of God and no creeds and no dogmas. No matter how learned and how wonderful the preachers and teachers are, it's just the straight, unadulterated word that has been revealed. Now remember, Jesus put it right on the cap, right on the top. He said it takes a revelation from God. The word of promise in himself, like it was in Mary. God himself made manifest. Well, that's God with us. That's Emmanuel. He will act himself by his own word of promise, so to fulfill all that has been written of him. Now that's sensible. How else would it be done? God working in the framework of his own word. God giving the word and doing it. Well, that's good. That's easy understood. See? Now, as he did when he came from the virgin womb, type of the spirit womb now, so will the virgin now accepting his word. And like Mary, be it unto me as thou hast said. Though it was said by an angel, while it yet was the written word, Isaiah 9 and 6, remember, virgin bear child, they will love him and will have his potentials, for he is their head, and they are his subjects, subject to head, his head, headship of Christ was his. On what condition? Word. Now, what did we learn in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? All right. In the first Corinthians, the chapter 15 on the resurrection, which they turned down, and Paul said, if there's no resurrection, we are of all men most miserable. That meant he wasn't happy to go to his word body, his spirit body, and just live there. And remember, they're not happy. They want to come back. So, all right, you got it. Why I'm saying that is because where I'm going to read is the 20th verse. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. That's right. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. That's those that haven't been made alive already, because you've had the first half of the first resurrection. You say, where are those people that are resurrected? I don't know. And I care less. That's God's business. They're right up there at the throne for all I know. See, just never mind. Just believe the Bible. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. That's his presence. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. Now, this sounds like Jesus is doing this, but you better take another quick look at this. This is God himself in the form of the Holy Spirit. When the Father shall have put down all rule and all power authority, for he must reign till he put all enemies under his feet. And the last thing he destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. When he saith all things are under him, it's manifest that he is left out which should put all things under him. See, there's your key right there. Somebody's doing something for somebody. Then when it's all over, that somebody turns it all back. What's the thing that Brother Branham told us about the Holy City? 1,500 miles three ways. On the top was the Lamb on the throne, and above the throne was a pillar of fire. Turn back to the Father. That's what I see here. You see what you want. What I want you to know is this. Keep reading. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him. There you are, see? That God may be all in all. Now, that word subject and subdue comes from the same root word that the Lord descends with the shout. It's the word klusma. You can trace it down. And you can find it's the commander keeping things in order. So it tells you at the time of the presence, which is God himself coming down here, puts his church in order and under his headship to bring this whole thing to pass as it should. As Brother Branham said, when man sinned in the garden, when God's great special son sinned in that garden and his wife with him, he didn't send an angel, never sent an archangel or a delegate. He himself came down. So today, so the one that came down is Revelation 5 and 1, is Revelation 10 and 1, is here in Revelation 10 and 7 is here, which is the seventh seal. You follow me? Now you see, I couldn't preach this way except for the seven seals. I couldn't look at this and just go, oi, what's he trying to say? Oh, what's he trying to say? See? Now, subject to his headship. How do you become subject? You become subject by the Word, having a place for the Word taking its place, the life of the Word watering the seed, that germ from within you, bringing forth in you, and the entire bride, thereby fulfilling the Word of promise. For what was the Word of promise? Go back to Genesis, go back to Jesus, go back today. And each time it was a great and tremendous juncture. And here we have the word of promise this hour. What is the word of promise? There be those who will not die. I show you a mystery. What is the mystery? Paul tells the 15th chapter, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. And when you get changed, what are you going to do? As you bore the earthly image, you're going to bear the heavenly. He made in his own likeness. Flesh and blood cannot do it. No, sir. It's going to be the work of God. A moment between tonight, the last trump, or the trumpet shall sound. What is the last trump? Revelation 10 and 7. Yep. At that time, the dead are raised in trouble. For corruptibility, must fall into corruptibility, mortality, immortality. And when that takes place, the dead, the people here are going to put in immortality. Now listen, this is the word of God. This is a promise. Now the thing is, to whom is it given and in whom is it brought to pass? Those who receive the word and say, be it unto me, even as thou hast declared. Now remember, that was only an angel. Today you're past the angel stage. It's the one in Revelation 4 and 5, comes down Revelation 10 and 1, the mighty messenger, God himself coming down with the open book. Say, how do you know it's God? Because the Lamb that came from the mercy seat behind the throne took the book out of the hand of him that was on the throne, tore the seals off, climbed on his Father's throne, and that one came down here, putting all things under his feet. Now, what's the most important thing under his feet? Now, if he's the Lamb sitting on the throne, it's the bride is the most important thing. And there's where your church order is. He's not worried about putting this world in order. He's going to come down and blast it. We're going to blast it with him. So you see what a tremendous thing is going on today. That's why Brother Branham picked his pen and began to write. And this is the basis for so many of the tremendous sermons the man preached, which throw tremendous light back onto the subject. Now notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until seen of the Father or the Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ, as in John 5:19. So will the bride, and he shows her his word of life. He shows her, and she receives it. She never doubts it. Now how in the world is this done? right off the bat, you've got to go back and get your minds lined up. It can only come through a prophet. Brother Branham said, Elijah, this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, not man, God. But it comes through a prophet. See, people don't want to go back to where your premises are upon which you build. See, man blew it. Number one, Eve blew it. Adam blew it. Now, God comes down upon Mount Sinai. Israel blows it. Yeah. So Moses said, okay, they've well spoken what they spoke. I'm going to have a prophet raised up like unto you. And those that don't hear that one, you know, is going to die. They're all dying. Then at the end time, Peter says the same thing at the end time. Utterly perish. Now, that's not said the first time round. It's only the second time round the utter perishing comes in. So this is this hour here. That's where you got Malachi 4:1. Leaving neither root nor branch. Now, my continuity might not be so great, but I've taught you people so well on these things so many so long, I'm just taking a heavy shot at some of these things, believing in my heart that you know what I'm really talking about. Now it says, her word of shows her his word of light. Now how is that done? By a vindicated prophet. And she receives it, never doubts it. Why? And this is why Brother Branham preached 80% of his message was vindication. Because if you don't believe it's vindicated, after 800 sermons, you wouldn't believe 3 seconds of what he said. So vindication is the key. Say, this is the word of God. This man is God to the people. Oh, we're crazy for that. You watch. I like Brother Branson, they'll shut us down. Well, that's all right. Can't shut down the life. Now, nothing can harm her, not even death. Notice, they say second death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. Now, you've got two things in there. The word of life received because there's a place in there for it, because there's a germ there. See? Now, notice, the next thing is the word of the hour, because this is the time that the reaper catches up with the sower. And remember, this prophet is the prophet of the former rain of Joel, which means the same thing is said again as in Deuteronomy. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, nobody knows what I'm talking about? Brian knows anyway. I mean, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings or kid you. But the thing is, these things that Brother Branham said, you simply can't lose them. You've got to know the source. Now, you're not going to make any dent on the world. Come on. You're not going to go up there and sell anybody anything in this message. If something in your heart doesn't say, hey, that's it, you know, you can bat your head against the wall. It won't work, see? Now, listen, nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. I, the Lord, have planted, watered it, lest any man take it out of my Father's hand. That's not an actual scripture. You've got a couple scriptures in there, and they're not even quoted right. But he said it. That's good enough for me. Paul quoted out of the Book of Wisdom. It's not even in the Bible. When you have a prophet vindicated tell you something, you just believe it. Now, he's not the IRS. They're crooked, everything else. You don't believe them necessarily. They're not even legal. True. No, it's not. Anybody knows that. You get a lawyer that's read this sharp, he can beat him every single time. It's been done time after time. He'll get you some other way, though. Just like this church. They can't prove off the word, so they get rid of it. Don't worry. Yeah. One's got a self-righteous spirit, and another's got a self-deceiving spirit. Of course, same thing. See, nothing can harm her, not even death. For the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. He said, I got a great big hallelujah here. Here's the secret. The word is in the bride and the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word. And she does it in his name. She has thus saith the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. He's talking about what thus saith the Lord is to the bride. She has the word. And she knows the word is hers, and she can place it with the word. She believes the prophet, and she's not trying to turn the world upside down. In fact, Brother Branham is actually talking more about himself than he is about the bride, because he said, if my hand does it, the body does it. All it takes is one member, and that's good enough. Then it's done. Now watch. He said, then it is germatized. In other words, it comes to light. So the Holy Spirit waters it until it is grown and serves its purpose. They do only His will. No one can persuade them different. They have thus set the Lord, or they keep still. Then they will do the works of God, for it is Himself in them, continuing His word, to fill as He did not complete all things when He was here, for it was not yet time. Now, Brother Branham will take that back to John 14. Let's go back to it. And he said, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works needs, because I go to my Father. And that referred actually to him. So you're seeing in here the same thing where Brother Branham threw so many people for a loop. They begin thinking, oh, this great tremendous ministry is coming on the scene. And Brother Branham said, you've seen your last sign. And the mighty works and miracles that you think a bride might do will be done in Israel. So, what is the secret? The secret of this whole message is vindication that the living Word of God has finally been rid of all its errors. Every error is gone. You're back to a perfect Word, and the bride in that Word receiving it, being watered by the Spirit, is going to raise that bride up to the position that God said. That's the big thing that you and I have to look at. Because if you start looking down here, you're going to start looking for a vindication. You're going to start looking for signs that follow the word, not realizing the sign of the prophet before he ever speaks the word is vindication. And after the word is given, you have all these fellows out here with false anointed to the core, doing every single thing. There's a fellow running around here in a high different place. Oh my, he's really loved by the people. I won't mention his name. But he's trying to discern. Last thing I heard, he's splitting little churches and starting little groups. That's good. Shows what he is. When you try to discern, you're of the devil. I'm going to tell you flat plain. I'm not going to take it back for anybody. Brilliant Branham, thus saith the Lord, said it. They say, well, Brother Dave, you shouldn't. Well, I should, because he said it. The same word he says in me, I'm going to say it. If you want to know something, I tried to bring that to your attention the other day over at... Maybe the fellows on the hookup got it too. It says over here, these people that were talking to each other, not talking to God, when the book of remembrance written, and it says, they're talking this word, they'll be mine, said the Lord host. I make up my jewels, they're going to be bride. I'll spare him as a man spares his own son, then you shall return. That's the process of returning. And discern between righteousness and wickedness, those that serve God and those that don't. And that's the major theme of this message, a separation. So, well, you know, Brother Dale, if we say that, they'll look down their noses. Well, I can maybe look down my nose too, bless God. I might have a longer nose than they got. Plain English, they look at me, I can look right back. That's what Jeremiah did. Because I'll give you a face of stone. If they want a stone wall, I'll give you your stone wall then. In other words, hey, look, this is a vindicated word that the prophet brought us. Now let us stand like Joshua and Caleb. Now watch close. Now let us stand like Joshua and Caleb as we see the promised land coming in sight. It's nearing the time to be given. Joshua in Hebrews means Savior and represents the promised end time leader to take the church over. Caleb represents a true believer who stayed with Joshua. God started Israel as a virgin with His word, and they wanted something different, so did the last day church. Now he's making his running a parallel here. Alpha and Omega situation again. Notice how God did not move Israel until His own appointed time. Now listen, this is going to mean something. Joshua waited for that time. No matter how much people might have said, God gave us the land, the promise, let us go now and take it. They might have said, Joshua, you lost your commission, you're all washed up. Why are you not doing something? You used to know, thus saith the Lord, in a moment, and know the will of God. But this wise God sent prophet not only knew the promise of God, but also knew to wait for that promise, a clear-cut decision from God for His time. Now, look at when he uses the illustration, people are going to say, well, this is talking about Brother Branham. No, he is merely illustrating this man, Joshua, and comparing to him. In other words, that Joshua didn't make a move till he heard from God. Knew exactly what God wanted, how he wanted, when he wanted. This will repeat at the end time. Now, you're talking about a single person. When you talk about Caleb, you're talking about a number. But this is in the singular. And remember, Joshua means Jehovah Savior. Joshua is the same as Jesus, which is Jehovah Savior. Or the Savior. All right. And when the time came, God gave it to Joshua, who had stayed with him by the word, for he could not trust others. He could trust him, so it will repeat. So this was merely an illustration. Now remember, Brother Branham said, our Joshua is the Holy Spirit himself. Just the same as Elijah. So you're looking now for the Holy Spirit leading. But remember, God always works through a prophet, then it goes down to the people. Now, the obedience in the people is tremendously necessary. But obedience without being in the Word is of no value. Eve would have obeyed God had she not gotten from that Word. She left the Word. From then on, it was all downhill. Like the mighty anointed prophet, Moses knew God would use him, for he had proven Moses to be his servant by his peculiar birth. At the right time, deliverance for Abraham's seed was a time. In other words, you couldn't have it ahead of time. It had to be a certain time. Moses never stayed in Egypt and argued scripture points with them. He never fussed with the priests, but he went to the wilderness and waited on the Lord until the people were ready to receive him. He had come to testify of them, but they would not receive him. God called his prophet to the wilderness. God had testified. He chose him. He'd chosen him, but the waiting was not by Moses, but for the people to get ready to receive Moses. Moses thought the children would understand that he was sent. I never wrote it. He did. So it is now. In other words, he's going back now to the time of Moses. Now, they had the word. They must have known the word 400 years. You're going to be delivered. All these hard times are going to come to an end. Now, when Moses came on the scene at that particular time, notice they did not receive him. But because it was God's time to make that move, they were moved anyway. Now, the point is, according to Brother Branham here, there was a waiting period because God could not move until he knew that people were ready for that particular move. And, of course, everything must be perfectly timed, and you know God has a way of timing things, so I'm not going to worry too much about that. But he uses the illustration here now, just like unto Moses, the great prophet. So you've got two illustrations. Now you get a third one, like Elijah. After that mighty vindicated prophet that the Word of God came to and finished preaching his message to the modern American groups of the First Lady with her bobbed hair and Jezebel paint group. Now, who's he talking about? William Branham. God confirming his prophet every time he prophesied it was the truth. God had to call him off the field until he plagued the generation with mighty plagues for rejecting the message of prophet and the Word of God that he sent to him. See, now what you're looking at here, not to put an emphasis on the time element. Notice, because you can easily do that. After that mighty vindicated prophet of the Word of God like Elijah, after that mighty vindicated prophet that the Word of God came to had finished preaching his message to the modern American groups, that First Lady and her bobbed hair and all, God confirming his truth every time he prophesied it was the truth. God had to call him off the field, and he plagued that generation plagues for rejecting the message prophet and the Word of God sent. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Elijah. He's not talking necessarily concerning what God did in Elijah's ministry. He's making a comparison here showing you that the people did not believe it. And when they don't believe it, it's the same as Egypt. Spiritual death and plagues come in. You understand what I'm trying to say? I'm not trying to wrap Brother Branham's sermons around my finger and make you think I know something you don't know. But he's illustrating. William Branham was neither Moses nor Paul nor Elijah per se. He was his own man, his own prophet, and the spirit of Elijah was upon him, which meant the nature of the prophet that would come on the earth. But he was the one, as he'll tell you here, that plants the seed of the entire Bible from the serpent to the prophet in the former rain. In other words, he's the fourth Elijah. We had Elijah, Elisha, John the Baptist, William Branham. Remember, fourth spells deliverance. And the fifth is grace. Why is it grace? Because Israel refused their deliverance and now they're going to get it anyway.
Hallelujah.
Which is under grace. Okay. So, you're going to see the mighty plagues come upon America. And it's already started. If you think AIDS is not one of the plagues, you're grossly mistaken. And look what they're doing with these homosexuals. They're ordaining them. Now they got the, what is it? They got a huge church in Dallas now. Lord, if you got any brains, never go to Dallas, especially your restaurant or anything else. You're supposed to be sent to say, boss, look, how about sending somebody else? You talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, they want to worship God. Homosexuals don't have a prayer unless they're born again. And if there's any seed in them, they will be seeking after God and wanting God on the premise of the truth of God, not trying to twist God's arm and get God to give them grace where you cannot get grace, because grace and truth are twins. If you think you can get grace without truth and truth without grace, well, just go, you know, look in the mirror and say, hey, I'm not looking an intelligent person. God sent him into the wilderness in hiding. Not even the king. This is Elijah. Now, people try to make this Brother Branham. Say, well, now he's got to return ministry. He's in the wilderness. If he's up there with those people that he saw, he's going to. That ain't no wilderness in my books. The only wilderness I knew he went to the time, he's going to try to trick Needy and bring her up there, way up in northern Canada, up in Alaska. And God showed him, yeah, you stop being the prophet I've ordained. You watch, you go to the city dump, boy. He learned his lesson in one quickie right there. And yet God in his love and mercy was very sweet and kind to him. Wasn't easy being a prophet. Not even the king could call him out. That's Elijah. And they that tried to persuade him against the will of God for so doing, the fire came down. But when God spoke his, faithful prophet by a vision, out of the wilderness he came with, thus saith the Lord. What did he do? Straight to the word. Back to the word he went. Brought the 12 stones and rolled them together. What's he telling you? He's in the mold of the prophets. God in the prophets. In a measure. His full measure was in Jesus. The measure necessary was in Paul. And the last measure is the same, as he said. Just think, the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. Like John the Baptist, Christ's faithful forerunner, the anointed prophet, no school of his father, no school of the Pharisee, no denomination could call him from the wilderness where God had sent him until he heard the voice of God, the Messiah's Lamb. Now, Brother Branham's own experience was a little bit like that. Quite a bit like it. You know, the time he said he went to the cave to really find out once and for all, or ready to, didn't know what to do. The angel appeared and said, your peculiar life is for a reason. Now he said, you're going to take a gift of healing to the world. And the sign in the hand, reading men's hearts and minds, then bringing the word of God. Isn't that what they all did? Straight back to the word. See, you can't hybridize it. So God has his own way of bringing what he wants in that hour, the truth that is indicated for the hour and vindicated for that hour. Now, there's a lot of vindication doesn't come under a prophet. Your reformers, starting with Luther, way back even in the Catholic Church, they were not indicated and vindicated like prophets. But remember, God sends prophets and wise men and scribes. And during those ages, those were those wise men, anointed to know a certain portion of the word for the hour. They kept that seed moving. See? But as Brother Branham said, always watch the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and end. Always watch it. Junctures. There comes every time prophets. Jesus himself was a prophet. You know, most people that call themselves Christians forget that. Oh, he was God manifest in flesh. Oh, he was this, he was that. He was a prophet! Well, that's too tame. And then, from that point on, it's too wild. Oh, can't have prophets. No, because they're so smart, you know. Oh, man, you talk about people. I want to talk about them. Like John the Baptist, Christ's faithful forerunner, so on. Now, are you listening? Spiritual mind, what more could I say? In other words, he said, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about myself. How different today. Many so-called advances claim they have the answer from God for the people. Just as Korah did, yeah. Denying, disputing the authority of God's vindicated, anointed prophet Moses. Just, in other words, he's saying, disputing and denying the vindicated prophet William Branham. They claim they have the answer when they don't have the answer. That's what he's saying. This was a money-making scheme too. A golden calf, as many do today. Big buildings, big schools, sometimes big jail sentence. And he really socked it to him, didn't he, for 130? What, 145 million bucks he filched? Not bad. When God begins to collect all his money with interest, and I'm sure he charges these 20%, I wouldn't want to be in the church's boots. I'd sooner be away from all that stuff. You know, it's better to have a clear conscience and empty pockets than full pockets and a lousy conscience. Hatched out incubators of their same seed. And then people then, as like now, fell for it after they had heard the true word of God through an anointed prophet that was vindicated. Brother Brad is telling you, I'm not going to be accepted. They fell for Korah's lie. The God-proven prophet. And God knew. And knew God had told them. Israel knew God had told them distinctly that he would vindicate his prophets by his word. How vindicate him by his word? It's right in there what he said to Moses. You're going to go there. Thus saith the Lord. It'll come to pass. They're going to fear you. They know you've got the authority. See? He that receives you receives me. Korah was not a scriptural prophet, but it looked awful good to the people, same as it does now. Now look at Korah, Dathan, Abiram, Cain, Balaam. All mentioned in the last day. That's he's bringing these guys in here. Today it's blood in your hands, balls of fire in the platform, oil in your fingers, and the same thing produces women preachers, short hair, bobbed hair, makeup, or what have you. You would not think that people would fall for it, but they did for Korah, and they do the same thing now, and turn away from the true word for denominations, shorts, shows what kind of seeds in them. What's he telling you? It's time to go into the promised land. Joshua is going to lead you in. The Holy Ghost is here. Positively vindicated. This is it. What are you waiting for? Oh, we don't like that. Hey, I like this. You know, you might as well get hit right between the eyes and scatter your brains for 50,000 miles. You have to just pit along. You know, let's read what the Bible says about the last day. They're going to go on to perfection, but it wasn't time. Watch. For it's impossible for those who are once for all enlightened. That's the revelation comes. Taste the heavenly gift. Partake of the Holy Ghost. Taste the good word of God. Even the powers of the world to come. Having fallen away, no repentance. That's this age. A full demonstration of God and his God-headedness. Wisdom. Power, love. Kill it. They couldn't change their minds. You know why? It wasn't possible because there was nothing there to receive it. Like Jesus said. He said, you said you're your father, the devil. He said, you know the reason you can't receive my word? He said, there's no place for it in you. There was no germ there. Nothing to make to. Well, let's face it. Come on. Now, these guys here that turn down the word, they'll produce every old sign that's in the Bible. And Pentecostals love it. Well, that's their business. But thank God all Israel never fell for Korah. Some stayed by Moses, the anointed prophet with the word of God. Same is it today with many of God's elected by his word and by his spirit. Tells you right there, there's going to be a group that won't. They won't budge. Now, remember, the tares, the weeds are to be gathered and bound in bundles. Is that right? This has to come to pass. The apostate organization churches are bound tighter than they ever were bound. They are bundled together in the Federation of Churches, ready for the fires of God's judgment. I never wrote it. I feel he did it. Pentecostals are full, so-called, the same as them. In other words, Pentecostal full gospel,
They say, we believe all the word. Look, it's being manifested. They're no different from the rest of them. See? The wheat word will be gathered someday after they leave for the master. Leave what? All the organization out there. You listen, they're bundling together. You don't want to be in their bundles, do you? And burned up. Huh? What is doing the separating? The word. What is bringing the churches together? Gifts. Manifestations after the word. Now, you know, if you know anything about the history of William Branham, if you're around him, I saw him in 1947. From that time on, till the time of his death, a lot of it. And that's the truth of it. William Branham actually came on the scene as the vindicated prophet of God. And that's when all these people like Corey, Dathan, and Byron began to the Pentecostals rose right up because they were in the same time niche as William Branham. And they said, hey, we can do that too. In fact, they told me, oh, yes, I knew a brother so-and-so. He discerned like Brother Branham. Oh, yeah, that was common. Bunch of lies. Another guy said, well, he said, my brother Clyde, he said, was down there in Jeffersonville. And Brother Branham was being fooled by that red-headed so-called prophet Hooley. And Hooley ran him or pulled him around by the nose. And my brother went there and rescued Brother Branham. You should hear the real story. I heard it. Hey, look. You know, let's stop and think a minute. Are we so naive tonight that we don't think the devil will put every stinking, rotten, stupid, little, big, and middle-sized trick out this fool people? Surely we're not so naive. Look, if these people can be fooled by some little silly thing, do you think the devil's going to exert himself to do some big thing? Well, the plain thing tonight, if you could invest $5 and make $5,000. Would you worry about investing $5,000 to make $6? You'd be stupid. The devil's not stupid. He's got these people here fooled because they want to be fooled. The same people go to the refrigerator, open the door. Oh, the light didn't go out. What's the spiritual? Oh, that's something spiritual. I'll tell you how spiritual it is. Either the switch is gone or the bulb is gone. Or maybe that's the switch. Because they're juicing the rest of the place. If you don't believe it, stick your finger in the in the hole there. I do understand. The thing is, look, let's face it. When you come so far out of the mess you're once in to fully examine it, you shake your head and say, my God, where have I been? It really, it's kind of humorous, but it isn't humorous. No. They're bundled together. All right. God has promised, now he said, be careful. God has promised Malachi 4 for this last day. And Malachi 4 has not yet been fulfilled, but it must be fulfilled, for it's a germatized word of God spoken through Malachi the prophet. Jesus referred to it. It is just before the coming of Jesus Christ the second time. Now, don't worry about that statement there. It sounds like Brother Brand saying, look, I certainly am not Malachi. Why did he say it in 1964 in New York as Raymond Tate? Elijah, rather, from Malachi 4th chapter. He admitted it. All through admits it. Now just leave that sit there. Just keep reading. Now listen close. All scripture has not been fulfilled, must be before that time. So already explaining what he said here. God has made certain promises in Malachi that have to be fulfilled, which will be just before the coming of Christ the second time, which means bodily. The bodily coming. What's the bodily coming? We meet him in the air. Came first time to die upon the cross, next time meet him in the air. Right? Now you can't consider the fact that he came out of the grave, stood upon the earth in his resurrection. Leave that be. And don't make anything of the fact that I've yet not, ascended to my Father, your Father, when he took his blood up there and brought it back. Brother Branham said the blood went to the elements. You see, you can take Scripture and you can run it and say, well, that means this, it means that. How do you know it means that? Did God talk to you in such a way that you know you're a vindicated prophet? Have you stood before the people and said, well, thus saith the Lord, and the things and signs come to pass that you've indicated? God giving the people assurance that you have His voice? You haven't got it. So what are you going to do about it? Leave it alone. So He tells you here, this Scripture here, before the second coming, has got to be fulfilled. And at that particular time, believe me, it was not all fulfilled, because the bride certainly was not ready, because the seals were not open. So don't throw this down here and say, well, bless God, that'll let you know Brother Branham wasn't Malachi for after all, blah, blah, blah. I get those. We used to get that all the time. All Scripture that has not been fulfilled must be before that time. That's true. The Bible is to be finished. The Gentile dispensation is to be finished with the church age. When this anointed messenger arrives, of course, he will plant the seed of the entire Bible, plumb from the serpent to the messenger in the former reign. Then he will be rejected by the denomination of people as his forefather, John and Elijah, as was spoken by our Lord, even as Elijah was the first time in Ahab's time. It will happen here in this country, as this country is a type of Israel. They'll reject the one hope they had to return to God. Now, when they rejected Elijah, what happened? The next thing down the road was Jesus Christ Himself appearing in flesh. What's this tell you? When Israel rejects, there's just when America rejects like Israel, there's just one thing left: destruction. And the actual literal coming of Christ Himself to take His bride, then coming back to this earth the third time when He sets up His kingdom. Hear, O read Jezebel religion. As this country, our forefathers worshipped the way they wanted to, came to this country and pushed out the natives and took over. So did Israel take over when they came up out of Egypt. We had godly men like Washington, Lincoln. They had great godly men as David and so forth. Then they got an Ahab on the throne with a Jezebel behind him to direct him. So have we. What's that? His wife? No, the Catholic Church. Now, let's talk about Clinton. If you think that, Mrs. Onassis, who she is now, Jackie Kennedy, had an influence on Jack, she couldn't have very much because she didn't even know where he was when he's up messing with women. They couldn't even get together in their love affairs, let alone how they're going to talk politics. Now you got one of the whore's daughters, Baptist churchmen in there, and a Methodist. I think they're pretty good people. I think they'll do a good job as far as politics are concerned, but you watch. I don't think the Kennedys will be half what this is. Because what's the difference if you've got the World Council of Churches, an American Council, or just the Roman Catholic Church? There's no difference. In fact, one old harlot could be better than all her harlot daughters. You know, and you're only dealing with one. You get slippery 70 out here. It's worse than one slippery. Huh? Isn't that right? Wouldn't it be better to take a hatchet to one book of Scripture than about 300, what do you call them? Rattlesnakes? Huh? Well, come on. I'd sooner stay away from all of it. What if you couldn't? Huh? I think I'd take the Boca straight against the 300 rattlesnakes. Whatever they are. Now, that I wouldn't like either one. Whew, my. But I'm just trying to show a little picture there. See, all right. So it's at this time that person will appear, for it's in the Scripture, and it's thus saith the Lord. Well, that already took place. You see? Then in the latter rain, there'll come forth a Mount Carmel, a showdown. Bible fulfilled the letter. John the Baptist, his messenger before his face in Malachi 3, planted a former reign and was rejected by the church, the denomination, Pharisees and Sadducees in his day. Jesus came and had a Mount Transfiguration showdown. In other words, vindicated. This forerunner of the last day will sow for the former reign. Twice given. Just think. That's what he means. Just think. The same pillar of fire that brought it to Paul is here revealing it. Jesus will be the showdown between denominations and creeds, which is his word. There you are. That's the showdown.
Well, I'm looking for some big showdown when I flex my spiritual muscles and I make rain come down out of heaven. You better look out, I might drown in it. Where do you find that in the Bible?
Amen.
Come on, where do you find it? Secret rapture. 8 million people are going to go. Secret rapture, 8 million people. Listen, now there's Sister Ann's and two little girls leaving the assembly. You mean to tell me that 8 people got up? It wouldn't be more noticeable than the mother and two little kiddies? And if 12 got up? Millions now living, so-called, are dead and will continue to die and not make a rapture. Not because Lee Vail said so, it's the Bible. That's all. I've got nothing to do with it. Listen, I've told people hundreds of times, listen, I never wrote the book. It's not mine. People even have the nerve to say I taught Brother Branham doctrine. That's the biggest joke ever. I should be so good. I admit I loved his doctrine, but it wasn't mine. And his doctrine wasn't his own either. All right. The forerunner of this last day will sow the former rain. Jesus will be the showdown between denomination creeds, which is his word. When he comes, the showdown. What will be? The rapture of the bride. Separated by the word. Brother Branham category said there are two separations. The separation in Matthew 24 was by the word. The separation in Luke 17 was the actual catching away. He said, right, 100%. Read your Bibles. You're going to find it right there. The first was Mount Carmel. The second was Transfiguration. The third will be Mount Zion. And he says, glory, which is ours. Now remember, Mount Transfiguration was the absolute proof to those that were in that little select group, like a little tiny bride, that this was that one. See? Then the next thing is Christ in his rapture. Now, when he has exposed himself and proven who is here by his presence, even the judge. Yet everybody in this message is now preaching the present. Oh, man, they hated my guts when I brought it right to the forefront. If other men knew it like I did, but they never preached it. But they don't know the thing about the judge. How can you know the present, not the judge? Don't you know what's going on? Flashing red lights of judgment. I indict this generation. Right down the line. Martin events made, you know, made clear. And so on. Don't you see what you got right today? You have already had the showdown. Right down the line, the one who is here present, we know who he is. There's no way we don't know. The second thing is there's absolutely the separation. He's the one doing it because his fan is in his hand separating. There's going to be a resurrection pretty soon and a bride will be caught away. How many minutes? Okay, we'll close about here. Elijah's behavior, Moses' behavior, John's behavior, leaving their field of service. Many of the people didn't understand them. It is because they were rejected and their message. The seed had to be sown. Judgment was next. And they were assigned to the people from God that judgment was at hand. Planting was over. So therefore, the reaper catches up with the planter, the sower. Right, because this is the last planting. And from this planting is a people who are brought in complete church order back to virginity through the word by God, raising the dead and taking them away. Now that's what you have in preaching here 100%. See, I believe someday the real bride of Christ will be forced to stop preaching the word of God. The Bible prophesies in Revelation 13:16. That's about the Antichrist stopping it all. Denomination will force it to stop or take its mark. Then is when the Lamb will take his bride and judge the whore for this. In other words, you're looking at a squeeze. Now, don't try to figure it out and don't get worried. The point is this. If you're not bride, your foolish virgin will find right in here before it's over from the Garden of Eden where everybody stands. Don't worry about it. You're not going to change it. Just trust God. That's all. No matter what you are, just trust God. You're sitting under the sound of His Word. At least you don't have to take anything I'm saying about His Word. But I read His Word. Take what I read at least. My comments aren't all that tremendous.
See, maybe not even necessary. Remember Moses. Now, he said they're going to be judged. Remember Moses, born for the work. Born for the work. Just like Jeremiah, everyone had to wait on God for the extra gift for the job. How many gifts did he have? Sign in hand, read the heart, bring the word. And the greatest of all was discernment, because you knew that was the judging word. Separating. Now everybody wants to do it. Why? Because now they can set themselves for it. Oh, I've got the judging word. I'll discern. And everyone falls on his face. Grant down here in Cincinnati was so great for a while. Where is he today? They'll run him out of Texas pretty soon. They'll throw him in jail if he's unlucky. I'm not for the guy getting thrown in jail. But the guy didn't. He never had discernment. He told a lie. He said, Brother Branham appeared in his room at 2 o'clock one morning and said, I'm going to give you my mantle. Ha, ha, ha. William Branham's a small man. Joe, how'd you like to give Norman your suit? Well, Joe, about 5'7", Norman about 6'2", somewhere in there. 250 pounds against 135 or so. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. What is this nonsense? People stand up and lie to the people, then they get anointed and discern a little bit, and the thing flops. Come on. What is it? You wonder why I'm sarcastic? Well, you better not wonder. If you aren't, I'm sorry for you. Because you better learn how to discern and put the vinegar and lemon juice where it belongs, the honey where it belongs. Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. They say cider, vinegar, and honey is awful good for you. I never found that God giving it to the sheep. He used to spread the honey on the rock. The sheep licked the honey off the rock, and they got all they needed. So you can have, you know. I'm just illustrating. I hope you're catching the point. Not being overly brilliant or sarcastic, but hoping getting it across. Listen, he said, remember Moses, they're born for the job. And for the time appointed by God, a certain Pharaoh had to be on the throne. And the people had to be waiting for the bread of life before God would send him back. Now, with thousands of sign workers in this last day, has created a generation of sign seekers that knows nothing more about the true move of God in these last days. God and his word in these last days. See, they're going to the wrong source. As I have said, give them blood and oil and fleshy demonstrations on the platform. They'll support it, whether it's God's word or not, whether it's spiritual or not. Jesus has warned us such things at the end time. As I said in Matthew 24, two spirits very close alike deceive the very elect apostle. How can you tell them? Give them the word test. How can you know it? Speak the word. See what they say about it. See, that's why you talk the word. If they don't believe the word, they have no seed germ in them. They are of the evil one and deceive you. As the first bride is deceived, then the second bride was deceived. They're deceivers of the third bride by hybridizing the word, or trying to. And of course, they cannot do it. But we'll stop right there about they're trying to hybridize the word on us. Well, we'll go on tomorrow. This is exciting to see these things. See them all and discern what's going on. Not fooled by what's in the world, by a false compassion, a false love, a false word, a false light. Hey, listen, if you're serpent seed, and I trust nobody here is, you had a created life. The life that Adam had was not created. God breathed, and in the breath of life, you became a living soul. It was just a spirit created. You're a part of God. There's no God, never got created. So that's what we're looking at. Let's pray a second, shall we? Heavenly Father, we look to you at this time knowing, Lord, that you're the source of wisdom and power and love, Lord. God in a three, and we certainly do appreciate that. We know, Lord, that the tremendous wisdom without power would be no value. Tremendous power without wisdom would be havoc. And yet even the two together without love could be discriminating, the sense that it would play this way, that way. It could not be stable. But Lord, we see in the three your omniscience, omnipotence, and your boundless love coming together. And we believe, though man may mock it and deride it, we know that what is true. And we're happy that we have the truth, and we know it is the truth.
because it was vindicated. Brought by a prophet, it was vindicated. And Lord, help us to believe this simplicity. If we don't see every bit of the ramifications and understand perfectly everything that Brother Branham said and can just see it flow in as it ought to flow in, or at least we would desire it, we can just leave it in your hands. For Lord, we know that you'll show us what we have need of. But the major thing we see here in this message tonight is warning, 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 warning. But it's not just warning, which in itself is useless unless we have something to guide us so we know wherein we're warned to go on the proper path of security and safety and away from folly. And we have that tonight. And that's just what the prophet told us and what we read already. The bride, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast. Absolutely protected, cared for. No matter what happens, that water of life going to raise that seed up. Present a perfect bride to Jesus Christ, whose end is the new Jerusalem. As far as we know, that's the last picture we get. And that's more than we need to know. Because we've seen the magnificence and the truth of your grace manifested this last hour. Help us to believe, Lord, as never before, and get our sails so set and the stabilizers so stabilized. Just crest every storm and go sailing across those waters that carry us over to the haven of rest. We know, Lord, there's a promise made to somebody. We believe it's made to us. We claim it on the grounds of being participants in it. We trust, Lord, we are dressed in the wedding garments, sitting at the marriage supper. In heavenly places in Christ. We look to that end tonight, Lord, and consider it by grace that we're a part of it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now we're going to, while we're in 1 Corinthians, so we'll just go to 1 Corinthians 13 while we're at it here, rather, 11 chapter, rather, not the one on love. Now before I read, I think we have brethren and sisters with us that are not familiar with how we have the Lord's Supper here. So you just watch how the people come. We have to go down certain aisles and go out a certain way in order that the sisters can wash their feet in the back and the men go in the foyer there and draw the curtain. And there's room for about six or seven people up here also have their feet washed. But it just allows us to have the foot washing in continuity with the Lord's Supper. We're going. That's how Brother Branham had it. He had far less room than we have. And so you just watch how it's done. You'll have no problem at all. We're happy to have you. We're not close communicants. We welcome everybody because we don't judge anybody. The person has to judge himself, herself. And that's what it is. And as long as we're all here tonight, for one reason, partaking of this very peculiar word, because Brother Brown's word is very peculiar because it's God's word. If you came here and enjoyed it, well, you're one of those peculiar people we love and admire. So make yourself at home and just be with us. All right, now Paul tells us here, and let's rise, shall we, and give you a change of position. And we'll be able to come soon as we... And it doesn't matter, you won't break any hurt my feelings that the brethren are going to serve. Just walk down the aisle now because I'm just going to talk a little bit here. Get ready to serve. For I have received, the Lord, that which I delivered, also delivered unto you. Now notice that Paul delivered what he received. You know, I like that, because some people try to make such a great mystery. Oh, God showed me something, but I ain't going to show you. He said, well, didn't Brother Branham sort of do that? No, he didn't. He would trick you every time, say, I don't think I'll talk about it, and a couple of minutes later, sneak in and talk about it. He never kept anything back that the Lord told him to tell us. What God said don't tell him, he couldn't tell us, because the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us. And I like Paul, he gave the people what God gave him. And this is what we see tonight. God gave him these ordinances. He gave them to us. They're perfect with what Jesus Christ himself said. It is truly the Spirit of God. And so we're going to take those ordinances. Now he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body broken for you. And he said, you do this remembrance of me. You break it and eat it. Then he took the cup and drank it and passed it around. He said, this is a remembrance of the testament of my blood. And he said, when you do it, you drink in remembrance of me. He said, as often as you do this, and he never limited it. In the early church age, they went from house to house, and I suppose almost every single day, people did this.
Can't do it too often, any more than you can come together and talk the Word of God too often. He says, as often as you do this, I'm going to tell you what you're doing. You're showing the Lord's death until He comes. It's just a little exercise in memory, commemoration. See, that's what it is. You're honoring God by doing this. Now, you know, in the very first century, they made mock of this. Oh, my, they made mock of it. And the communists, I don't know how many people remember, most of you are not near as old as I am, so you don't remember all those terrible cartoons the communists put out. And the Methodists were the greatest betrayers of Christianity in America. If you know the history, and you should maybe look at it sometime, and you had pictures of, I won't even mention the races and the people that drew these pictures, because I just want to stay away from that. You might think I'm a bigot of some description, and I try not to be. And they had Christ on the cross with these, with his bowels hanging out and people chewing on or sucking on. Yeah. You never saw those cartoons, eh? You haven't even lived yet, have you? Hey, I go back in my 20s. All this stuff, these hideous things they've been doing way back there. And it's to a peak now. See, ridicule it. And the Catholics came and said, well, this is the real thing. And when we bless it, it becomes the actual blood and body. Hog. Nonsense. If you want the real body of Christ that lives and you can feed on, take the Word. See, let the Holy Spirit anoint it you. So, this is what He left us. And it's not some cartoon, some fantasy. It's a simple little exercise in faith. And that's what we do. We come around His table for that very reason. Now, He said, the man examined himself. Don't attach anything too mystical to it. Don't get off the Word of God. Just stay flat, steady with it. And it says, examine yourself. He that eat and drink is unworthy, eats and drink is judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are sick among you, many sleep. In other words, this little service that we have can be a blessing or a curse, because that's the way everything is with God. If you take it exactly as it's meant, it can be a blessing to you. How often have I heard people, in taking the Lord's Supper, as we call it, have been healed of various diseases? And same many people take it, unworthily perhaps, no doubt. They don't get their healing, just pass away in sickness and die. Now, of course, Brother Brand says something's got to take us out of this world, and I've lived my 80 while my wife has too, and maybe some of you are getting pretty close to it, and some of you have got there. You can't ask God for longer life, but you can ask Him for good health. Now, if we judge ourselves, we won't be judged. But we will be trained and chastened, cautioned, reprimanded, corrected, that's the word, of the Lord. And therefore, we will not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together, tarry one for another. In other words, what we're looking at here once more is, as Brother Branham said, communion was a communication. He said fellowship was like two men in a ship, a little boat. What I'm looking at here is for people, let down all your bars. Just don't think, well, I remember this about my brother. I tell you, I wouldn't trust him again or trust her again. You know, so we, those things go through our minds. We're human. We're not at all God-like in that way. We could forget, but we don't intend to forget. You know? That's just the way human nature is. But there's a time around the table to say, Lord, I'm forgetting the whole thing. It's all right. It's water under the bridge. What does it matter? We've all learned by our experiences. I love my brother, love my sister. I'm devoted to the household of faith, the household of God. These are my people. And if you come in that attitude, you don't have any problems. Not a problem. So let's not worry about it. Let's bow our heads in prayer, then the brethren up here can serve those that are going to lead the service and song service and all. Heavenly Father, I just pray one thing tonight for the people in simplicity of heart and humility toward Thee. Love and grace toward each other. Simply come forward and partake of these emblems and then join in foot washing in that same simplicity of heart and mind, which means not only brotherly kindness, but we're breaking a little more toward the light of love. So there's not only just forgiving, forgetting, but actually in joining and enjoining each other in a love feast, not worshiping each other, but worshiping God and loving each other.
serving and helping, knowing this is the greatest calling of all, that is part of the household of faith, the family of God. We live under His headship in the light of His Word, motivated by the nature of His Spirit, so that as we walk in the light as He is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all righteousness. We're going down that road together in a union with Thee and with each other. The sweet Spirit of Christ, we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.